I'm Joe at 8th Street. This is BuiltBot.com. The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the capital neighborhood, the lower height of the City of American Liberation, San Francisco, California. By the way, there won't be much America or liberation left if the tax bill passes the U.S. Senate. So if you know anybody in Wisconsin, Tennessee, Maine, Arizona, Kansas, or Alaska, tell them to call their senators right now and you do the same. Sorry about the cold I have and the problems with the M's and N's. Today is the 30th of November, 2017. On this date in 1487, Albert IV of Munich passes the first beer purity law, which declares that beer can only contain barley, hops, and water. Still around today in Germany and Namibia, if I'm not mistaken. 1786, the Grand Duchy of Tuscany is the first modern state to abolish the death penalty. This day is celebrated as Cities for Life Day by cities around the world that support the abolition of the death penalty. 1803, Spain officially transfers control of the Louisiana Territory to the French. 1900, Irish writer Oscar Wilde dies in Paris of meningitis. 1939, the Soviet Union invades Finland, starting the Winter War. Doesn't go so well for the Soviet Union. 1947, civil war breaks out in Mandatory Palestine after a UN resolution recommending partition. 1988, Soviet Union stops jamming Radio Liberty for the first time since 1950. 1995, Operation Desert Storm officially ends. And 1998, Exxon and Mobil merge, creating the world's largest corporation. Birthdays today are Irish satirist and cannibalism proponent Jonathan Swift in 1667, American writer Mark Twain in 1835, English politician Winston Churchill in 1874, and the first African-American congresswoman Shirley Chisholm in 1924. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to TPLPOD, that's TBLPOD.com, or send us an email, any question you want, TBLPOD@gmail.com. Lots of questions remain after last week's counterterrorism operation in the Isani district of Tbilisi. So far, it's known that one suspect, S. Dudayev, was arrested on the 21st of November while armed. After the arrest, later on the 21st, law enforcement attempted to gain entry to an apartment that contained three more suspected terrorists who subsequently threw grenades and fired shots at the security forces. At this point, five officers were injured, one of whom later died. There are unconfirmed reports that a Turkish unit joined the Georgian one after the initial violence. Fighting continued until about 1700 the next day, when one suspect apparently ran outside shooting while the rest blew themselves up. The investigation is ongoing and will be carried out jointly with the United States. Prime Minister Georgi Kvitakashvili visited wounded members of the security forces in the hospital, asked people not to speculate too much about the events, and said of the suspected terrorists, quote, their ethnicities and citizenship do not matter at all, and we should not emphasize their citizenship, end quote, which is hilarious. Vakhtang Gomolaodi, head of the State Security Service, said that, quote, they committed a terrorist act in Georgia by being engaged in around 18 hours of fighting against Georgian law enforcement, end quote. President Georgi Margvelashvili took the opportunity to critique the government for their plan to abolish the National Security Council in 2018, saying that there is a naive feeling in Georgia that, quote, there are no risks of large-scale threats and that there are no risks of a crisis being escalated into a more difficult situation and that Georgia does not need coordinated political responses, end quote. The suspect arrested during the operation has been sentenced to pretrial detention. The court hearing was closed at the prosecution's request with the agreement of the defense, and the suspect's identity is yet to be revealed, though he has been referred to with male pronouns and as a Russian citizen in public statements, hence Kvitakashvili's comments. He was officially referred to by the initials SD, but other reports have called him S. Dudayev. The suspect was charged with unlawful purchase, storage, carrying, manufacturing, transportation, transfer, sale, or use of firearms, ammunition, explosives, or equipment for terrorist purposes and with membership of a foreign terrorist organization. His defense lawyers say that, quote, he exercises his right to silence and he says he has no connection to a terrorist organization, end quote. And that they will be challenging the pretrial detention in the Court of Appeals. A pretrial hearing has been scheduled for the 16th of January, 2018. the absence of official information, a lot of speculations occurred. One of the more prominent theories is that Chechen ISIS member Ahmed Chatayev was in the apartment and was killed, that the remaining people present were protecting him. Chatayev is suspected of planning the June 2016 Istanbul airport bombings that killed 48 people. Security Chief Gomal Auri stated that, quote, there are suspicions that Chatayev was killed and that DNA testing was underway. Gomal Auri also said that some type of large-scale activities were being planned before the operation interrupted them. Rustavi Auri reported that a civilian may have been killed, and there is not yet any evidence of this. Rustavi, too, also released images from an anonymous source of bodies, including the one purported to be Chatayev's, and said the two suspects not reported by the security forces may have escaped. Chatayev had previously lost an arm and part of his leg, and the blurry photographs show what is apparently a prosthetic leg next to several dismembered body parts. The apartment was registered to and owned by two women from Pankizi, one of whom has the same last name as a Georgian ISIS fighter in Syria a year ago. Opposition parties have criticized Otsneva for allowing ISIS members into Georgia and for their 2013 release of Chatayev from prison. In response to the criticism, Otsneva MP Eke Baselia said, "We will not accept such impudent accusations from anyone, especially from those people whom themselves committed terrorist acts in their own country." For those of you who don't know, Eke Baselia is a corrupt moron who took bribes on the Pardon Commission. European Court for Human Rights ruled that the extended pretrial detention of former United National Movement Prime Minister Vano Merabashvili in 2013 was a violation of his right to liberty and security. The court said that his initial detention was justified, but it was extended in order to obtain information for other purposes, which is of course true, including the case against former President Mikhail Saakashvili. However, the court also ruled that there was not enough evidence to say that his detention was intended to prevent him from participating in politics in the October 2013 elections. The court awarded Merabashvili 4,000 euros for damages. Kvitikashvili attended the 5th Eastern Partnership Summit in Brussels on the 24th. Leaders of 6 EAP countries, Georgia, Moldova, Ukraine, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Belarus, were present, along with various EU leaders. In addition to the summit, Kvitikashvili met with European Council President Donald Tusk, European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker, Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, Finnish Prime Minister Juha Sipilä, French Prime Minister Edouard Philippe, and Swedish Prime Minister Stefan Löfven. Members of the center-right European People's Party met in Brussels at the 6th EPP Eastern Partnership Leaders Meeting before the EAP Summit, including representatives from the United National Movement and European Georgia. They adopted a joint declaration on the future of the Eastern Partnership, including further economic ties and support for Georgia, Ukraine, and Moldovan sovereignty. This week's Belt and Road Forum brought businessmen, international NGO representatives, politicians from 37 countries to Tbilisi this week. The forum focused on trade facilitation between Europe and Asia, Georgia's role in the new Silk Road. Ukrainian Prime Minister Volodymyr Grosiman attended a forum on his first official visit to Georgia. He met with Kvitikashvili, Mark Velashvili, Parliamentary Chairman Irakli Kobakhidze, Defense Minister Levan Isoria, and Ukrainian fighters wounded in the Donbas region of Ukraine at a treatment center in Zerovani. Moldovan Prime Minister Pavel Filip was also in Tbilisi for the forum. He met with Kvitikashvili, Mark Velashvili, and Kobakhidze. Slovenian Foreign Minister and Deputy Prime Minister Karel Erjavec also attended the Belt and Road Forum, met with Foreign Minister Janelidze, Kvitikashvili, Mark Velashvili, Kobakhidze. Janelidze visited Ashgabat, Turkmenistan, for the 28th meeting of the International Energy Charter Conference. He discussed the Southern Gas Corridor, which will allow Turkmenistan to send gas to Turkey and Europe. He also met with Turkmen Foreign Minister Rashid Menedov. Otsneva is planning to name Nino Lomjaria, former deputy head of the State Audit Office, as a new public defender after consulting with NGOs. Before working with the Audit Office, she led the International Society for Fair Elections and Democracy. Parliament is expected to vote on the appointment this week. Her term will last for 5 years. Otsneva also nominated Eva Gotsiridze, former member of the High Council of Justice for the Constitutional Court. NGOs, including the hardest-working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, and opposition parties, opposed the appointment because of Gotsiridze's lack of political neutrality and previous comments that did not support full freedom of speech. She was recently nominated for the European Court of Human Rights, but did not meet that court's criteria. If appointed, her term will last for 10 years. Parliamentary hearings to start this week on a drug decriminalization bill have been postponed. Co-authors of the bill from drug policy activist group White Noise Movement were notified of the postponement late on the night before the hearings were scheduled, were given no reason for the change. The head of the Parliament's Educational Committee, Mariam Joshi, said the hearings would occur in about a week after reconciliation of the government's positions and activists. For those who don't know, the time and location of parliamentary hearings is often changed to make it difficult for those who want to attend as a method of preventing transparency into policymaking by Parliament. If the bill passes, it will decriminalize possession of all drugs and move to treat drugs as a public health problem rather than a criminal one. Drug policy groups have planned a Dare to Decriminalize rally for 1700, that's 5 p.m., on the 10th in Tbilisi Rose Revolution Square. Seems to be moving along. Girchi, or the pine cones, seem to be very much involved. The Constitutional Court ruled that marijuana use should be decriminalized. The case was brought to the court as a violation of the constitutional right that everyone shall have the freedom to develop their own personality. And in their decision, the court wrote that everyone should be able to choose their own way to relax, which is awesome, you have to admit. Excuse me. Monitors from the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe called on Parliament to increase checks and balances in order to strengthen the position of the opposition. They appreciate improvements to the Constitution, but are concerned about the postponement of fully proportional elections by the abduction of Azerbaijani journalist Afghan Mukhtarli and by reports that Azeri residents and asylum seekers in Georgia are being harassed by people with connections to the Azerbaijani government. Speaking of Mukhtarli, the public defender Uchin Anuashvili released a statement on the shortcomings of the case. He noted that the prosecutor's office has not granted Mukhtarli victim status, so he and his lawyers are not able to observe the investigation, that the prosecution is currently investigating the case as unlawful imprisonment and has not addressed the kidnapping and cross-border transportation elements, and that after 6 months of investigation, no new information has been shared with the public. Mukhtarli's trial in Azerbaijan starts today on charges of illegal border crossing, hilariously, since he was smuggled across the border, smuggling, and violently resisting authorities since he was kidnapped by Georgians. Once again, the Azerbaijani government had complicity with the Interior Ministry in getting him into Azerbaijan, sadly. Earlier this week, unidentified activists put surgical masks on statues around Tbilisi to protest air pollution. The Ministry of Interior is apparently investigating to find out who the perpetrators are, as they have insulted statues. Anonymous oxygen ninjas have taken credit and say that this is just the beginning of a campaign for clean air. A fire at the Leo Grand Hotel in Batumi killed 11 people last Friday night. 10 of the dead were Georgian. One was an Iranian citizen. 21 people were hospitalized, including Georgian, Israeli, and Turkish citizens. The fire is thought to have broken out on the fourth floor. Stairwells filled with smoke, stranding people on the remaining floors. Firefighters used cranes to rescue people from the upper floors. The source of the fire has not been identified, but is believed to have started in the hotel's spa. Contestants from the Miss Georgia beauty pageant were staying at the hotel, but have since moved, and investigation is ongoing. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Grigory Karasin said that the United States' sale of Javelin missiles to Georgia directly encourages Tbilisi to new dangerous adventures in the region, and warned of the danger of increasing military cooperation between Georgia and NATO. In general, I'm a pacifist and against weapons being sold anywhere, but I have to say, kind of excited Georgia has Javelin missiles. Russian government and company called Enot Corporation, that's E-N-O-T, have been training young people from a variety of post-Soviet countries at several right-wing paramilitary camps outside of Moscow. Recent coverage has focused on the training of Belarusians, but South Ossetians have also participated. Abkhaz President Raul Khajimba visited South Ossetia this week, met with South Ossetian President Anatoly Bibilov. While there, Khajimba said that he was happy to have been recognized by the largest country in the world and the greatest in terms of resources. On the 26th, South Ossetian authorities released a Georgian prisoner, Grigory Guniashvili, to the Abkhaz authorities, who then allegedly traded him with the Georgian authorities for another unnamed prisoner. The Georgian side has not confirmed anything about the exchange. Patriarch Ilya II named Metropolitan Shio Mujiri of the Eparchy of Senaki and Chorotsku as the patriarchal locum tenens. After the patriarch dies or vacates the throne, the locum tenens will temporarily govern. Mujiri is a member of the Holy Synod and also led the Georgian parish of the St. George Church in Moscow. Ah, yes. A 1,500-year-old mosaic from the Byzantine Georgian church or monastery was discovered in Ashdod, Israel. The inscription uses the Georgian calendar and is the earliest example of its use in Israel, and actually predates its use in the Georgian calendar in Georgia. Ashdod today is home to what is believed to be the world's largest population of Georgian Jews. In further pursuit of strong U.S. ties, Georgia's increasing tobacco regulations. In May, Parliament amended the tobacco control law to be more strict. Regulations will start going into place in 2018. Starting in May, smoking in enclosed public spaces, such as workspaces, public transportation, will be banned. In 2020, the ban will be extended to cover hotels and stadiums. Also starting in May, films that feature smoking will be required to play anti-smoking messages beforehand. Restrictions on advertising and display of tobacco products will go into place next September, and tobacco sales will not be permitted within 50 meters of schools, although through the internet or mail or through drive-through shops, although I've never seen a drive-through shop in Georgia. I guess there must be some. The authors of the law expect tobacco use to decline by 2% in the first year and 1% each of the 4 years after that. The meme this week is some very cute picture of what is probably the first same-sex marriage in Chochas at a wedding of queer activist David Shubladze in New York. Stuff to read. The Economist explains a blog posted about the Eastern Partnership and the barriers that the EAP countries face regarding European integration. They note that all of the EAP countries except Georgia are too corrupt to join as is, and some EU members, especially the Netherlands, are reluctant to consider new additions at all. OC Media looked at recent developments in illegal drug policy in Georgia. Nearly 1 in 3 prisoners in Georgia are there for drug-related offenses. Georgia has one of the highest rates of problem drug use in the world. After Russia and the Seychelles, harsh sentencing laws have become the target of activists who say that sending drug users to prison does not address the cause of the problem. Tabula posted some pictures of this week's air pollution protest depicting Tbilisi statues wearing surgical masks. Chaikhana wrote about Georgia's culture houses, Soviet remnants present in almost every town and city that once had cinemas, concert halls, dance studios, art workshops, theaters, music rooms, and libraries. Some of these services persist, but the buildings themselves, built from the 30s onward, are decaying. However, individuals and municipalities have revitalized some of them and are using the spaces to create new opportunities, especially in rural areas. Chaikhana also posted another article and photo series about shepherds, this time in Tusheti. The photos are similar to the other articles that have gone around this fall, but with a little more snow and a brief tale of a disillusioned lawyer. All this stuff to read is posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number, or numbers, is 18 to 24, which is the number of months of the spiny dogfish's gestation period, the longest of any known animal. The spiny dogfish is native to Georgia's Black Sea coast. The British Georgian Society is having their annual meeting on the 6th, the Royal Asiatic Society in London. The meeting will be followed by a lecture by Brian Gilmore on the copper industry in Georgia, and then a pre-Christmas reception with wine and Khachapuri. Former NASA astronaut Heidi Marie Piper will be at the American Corner in Tbilisi on the 4th, the 4th of December, from 6 until 7:30 to meet with the public. The event is free. Tbilisi State University is hosting an Iranian film festival, screening films at 7 p.m. from the 4th through the 7th. CRC and ARISC, American Councils, are presenting a talk entitled Bebudi Does Bribery, An Uzbek Intellectual Hero Gets Into Trouble, by Thomas Welford, as part of the Works in Progress series. Talk will be held at CRC in Tbilisi at 6:30 on the 6th. 6th and 8th at 8 o'clock, King Lear is playing at the Tumanashvili Film Actors Theater in Tbilisi. This is the last week to see Crossroad, Religious and Ethnic Diversity of Georgia, an exhibition that's dedicated to the International Day for Tolerance at the Amidonishvili Museum of Fine Arts in Tbilisi. American Friends of Georgia Christmas Gala is next Saturday, December 9th at 6 p.m. in the Biltmore Hotel, Tbilisi. The event will raise funds for the renovation of the Zegvi shelter to protect vulnerable children, abandoned elderly people, handicapped adults, orphaned children, and single mothers. The event will include a reception, live auction, raffle party, dance party, and New Year's surprises. It's a worthy cause and tons of fun. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tabealpod@gmail.com or post to the form on our website, www.tabealpod.com. And we'll finish with 1989 Yellow Moon by the Neville Brothers. Thank you very much.
Didn't tell me.